After these events, King Ahasuerus promoted Haman, the son of Hammedatha the Agagite, and advanced him and established his authority over all the princes who were with him. Esther chapter 3, verse 1. Now, wait a minute, what's going on here? Mordecai is the one who saved the king's life, right? Mordecai is the one who told Esther, who then told the king. Mordecai is the one who uncovered the plot and saved the king's life. So why is Haman getting the promotion? I forgot to tell you, life's not only painful, it's also unfair. Perhaps you are thinking right now that you will be promoted because you have worked the hardest, you have come up with the big ideas, you are the one who's done the most for your boss. Therefore, it's only right that you be given that special position you've been anticipating. Well, be prepared. It probably won't happen. I'm not trying to be pessimistic, just realistic. Wrong happens because life isn't fair. Why? Because of evil. When righteousness rules, justice reigns. But when evil lurks in a heart, injustice follows. And that's exactly what happens when Haman, of all people, is advanced, given authority, and promoted. And all the king's servants who were at the king's gate bowed down and paid homage to Haman, for so the king had commanded concerning him. But Mordecai neither bowed down nor paid homage. Esther chapter 3, verse 2. You say, aha, this guy had a bad attitude. No, Mordecai was a Jew, and to a Jew, bowing down to any person or thing on this earth was considered idolatry. It went against the deepest convictions of his faith. The Torah states clearly, you shall have no other gods before me. So Mordecai would not bow down and pay homage to anyone. When he is asked about why he will not obey the king's command, why he will not pay homage to the man the king has promoted to a place of authority, Mordecai has his answer ready. Then the king's servants who were at the king's gate said to Mordecai, why are you transgressing the king's command? Now it was when they had spoken daily to him and he would not listen to him that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's reason would stand, for he had told them that he was a Jew. Esther chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Obviously, the king's servants hounded Mordecai about this for several days, and each time they raised the issue, he told them the same thing, I am a Jew, which being interpreted meant, I cannot bow down to any earthly being. And the troublemaking evil in their hearts leads them to report this to Haman. When Haman saw that Mordecai neither bowed down nor paid homage to him, Haman was filled with rage. But he disdained to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had told him who the people of Mordecai were. Therefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews, the people of Mordecai, who were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus. Esther chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. What's happening here? Why would Mordecai's refusal to bow down to Haman cause Haman to become enraged and then want to kill all the Jews? Even wanting to retaliate and kill Mordecai would be excessively evil, but to kill an entire people who are in no way involved in this private battle of wills? The answer is that all this goes back to an old grudge. Take another look at that bit of genealogy mentioned in verse 1. Ahasuerus promoted Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite. If you know your biblical history, you know that tucked away in the folds of 1 Samuel is an interesting story about a king named Saul who was told by a prophet named Samuel to kill the Amalekites, the lifelong enemy of the Jews. The Amalekites had attacked Israel after they left Egypt. That's how far back this adversarial relationship went. So Saul was instructed to kill all the Amalekites, along with all their animals. But Saul, a pragmatist that he was, saved the best of the enemy's sheep. He also spared the king, Agag. And the Agagites, descendants of the Amalekites, got their name from the king that Saul didn't kill. Which should be an excellent reminder that when God tells you to do something, you'd better do it. He always has a reason. Afterward, the prophet Samuel confronted Saul about his disobedience. And after Saul danced around with some verbal semantic work while rationalizing his disobedience, he finally confessed that he had failed to do as the Lord had commanded. Then Samuel put Agag to death before the Lord. For all these years since, these age-old enemies of the Jews had passed this scene from their history down through succeeding generations.